Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
and inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You've said that it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. All that matters is how you perform on this grand stage in the postseason. Does pitching your team to the World Series sound like enough?
Not yet, no. Not for me. You know, not for the other guys in the clubhouse. You know, we got four more wins. That was very, very special. Absolutely, but we want more.
And there it is. This is an agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't, planetfitness.com. So everything on the table, but we know what the driver is. The Boston Red Sox and David Price headed to the World Series. So let's discuss, shall we? We'll still give you opening thoughts. We'll still take your phone calls as soon as they are ready to go at 617-779-0985. Naz, Big Jim Murray alongside. Anthony, you have an opening thought.
Yeah, Murray, why don't you go first? Because I think yours is the story of the game.
Well, sure. Like I texted Maz last night when the Red Sox completed the gentleman sweep of the baseball equivalent of the mid-2000s Colts, this soft, fake, bully Astros team that I bought too much into like everybody else. Told you. Told you it was set up for David Price to win his first postseason win yesterday. No real pressure. Up 3-1 on the road. Minimal expectations for the guy. They're playing with house money. Up is down. Down is up. Jackie Bradley Jr. has turned into Reggie Jackson. He went out. He was nails. It was as predictable as it was hilarious. This isn't, though, the time for me to gloat about nailing this prediction. Again, told you. This is to legitimately say congratulations to the Red Sox and, more importantly, David Price.
Oh, my God. You're going to be magnanimous all of a sudden.
Look,
or contrite. What are you being? What are you doing?
No, I mean it. Congratulations to him. You could tell that there was a genuine relief, and rightfully so, that the monkey is off his back. He finally is not a perpetual loser in the baseball playoffs. There's serious balls on this group. That's evident, and good for him. I mean that. Seriously, good for David Price. I'm not being facetious. He's obviously taken a beating. I've been leading that charge here, and this isn't the time for me to be defiant, like Adam Jones was again last night, saying he's the equivalent of Lieutenant Dan on the boat in Forrest Gump, screaming into the void, like, I'll show you. Like, he's going to die on that Jackie Bradley Jr. hill. That's Jones. I'm not going to be that guy. This is the time for me to get bodied like Bob Barker did to Happy Gilmore. If you know it, when Happy Gilmore says to Bob Barker, the price is wrong, bitch. I've been doing that to David Price now for the last handful of years. Price is wrong, bitch, over and over and over and over again. Now's the time for me to get bodied like Bob Barker. You want more? Beats him up, bitch. That's me today. I'll take that L, and rightfully so, because he was great last night. He was, but I told you. It's so set up for him. It was just like you knew it was going to happen. If you didn't see that coming, yeah, you weren't paying attention. Of course he was going to win last night. This team's, they're the bizarro Red Sox. You know, you had the beards in 2013. This team, you're getting production from the most unlikely of sources. So I wasn't shocked at all that happened. But again, kudos to them and good for him.
So here's where I would start. That, you know, and I wrote about this on our website today, 298.5thesportshub.com. But if you've already read it, too bad. You're going to get the verbal version now. Okay, and that is this. The Red Sox showed up at spring training this year having won two divisions in a row, 93 wins both season, and some of them wanted to remind us of that all the time. Well, we won two divisions in a row. Well, we won two divisions in a row. What more do you want? Here's what I would tell you. The message then was the same as it is now and was all year long. The reason why people got annoyed? Because they were capable of more. They were capable of more. All the way along, Mookie Betts was capable of more. We saw his best season ever this year. Xander Bogaerts was capable of more. We saw his best season this year. They're all of them, to a man, really, I would say, Jackie Bradley, capable of more. They were all capable of more, which is why we got frustrated. Because there was a lot of talent there. And for whatever reason, they got into October, and it didn't work. Now, whether it was them choking, or I don't know what, okay? But they didn't play to their capability in the past, not to their full capability. Now, this year, can we all agree? They were capable of more. And now they've given us more. So look, tremendous achievement. They rampaged through the American League this year. 108-54 in the regular season, and it's now 115 and counting after going 7-2 against the Yankees and Astros, including 5-0 on the road. So, you know, this idea that we were being too hard on the Red Sox in the past, the ownership and management of that team knew that they were capable of more, too. They knew it. That's why they got rid of the manager and the coaching staff and brought in new people. And I know they added J.D. Martinez, and I'm not trying to minimize that acquisition because it's a big one. But the reality is all the other guys got better, too, or a lot of them did, because they recognized that something wasn't right there. As good as they were over the last couple of years, they weren't great, and they had the chance to be great. So now they're in the World Series, and the one thing I would caution people about, because, again, they rampaged through the American League. They did. But you can't lose now. The Red Sox are going to be favored in the World Series. They have home field advantage. They are on some kind of roll. So I would say in the short term, you should absolutely enjoy it. But come Tuesday, you got to close the deal because you're not great until you win a championship.
So my opening thought is on that next round. It depends what you want, folks. It depends what you want. If you want a coronation, you want the Brewers. The only thing that the Brewers are going to bring, at least to listeners and viewers of this program, is me. You being able to dump on me and revel in a Brewers loss, and there's some value in that. I'm not going to deny that for you. So that'll be fun, just on our personal level. But if you care about a competitive series and far more compelling storylines or things to sink your teeth into going to each game, it is unquestionably the Dodgers. It's not even close. It'll be a far more entertaining series. And I mean in terms of, if not the actual baseball, how they can compete with you. And but again, it all depends what you want. I know Patriots fans who love the 42-17 every week over the Jets and Bills. They love it. So if that's what you want the Brewers, and you can dump on me. And that's if that's what you want, then you want the Brewers. If you want a chance for a competitive series and a chance for a team that can challenge you, it is the Dodgers and some compelling guys on that side of the ball. From Manny Machado, who's been a complete asshat in that NLCS, and just take my word for it, he's been a complete putz in that series, but still very good, to an elite staff from Kershaw and Ryu and this rookie Buehler, and even Hill can be tough from the left side. They took Houston to 7 games last year. The Red Sox at Chavez Ravine for the World Series. That's real stuff right there. Okay, that's real stuff. And so that's what you want if you're looking for compelling theater. It's the Dodgers. If you just want to take a steaming dump on me, you want the Brewers. Right? So, that's it. Those are opening thoughts.
Me and Murray want the Brewers.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I know. Yeah. It's hard.
I know how much I enjoyed rooting for the Redskins and against your gambling interests earlier in the Patriots preseason. Do you like your chances or their chances?
No, I don't. Yeah, I like
neither
the Dodgers.
Neither do I.
I mean, the Brewers have a chance, but the Dodgers are just a superior team. And if they get their act together and pitch the way they're capable of pitching, they're just better. And if the Dodgers pitch the way they're capable of pitching, they can give you a go. I mean, we can, if it's the Dodgers, you know, we can really spin a narrative that gives the Dodgers a path to victory.
No question.
And it's really an old school path. It's, you know, Kershaw, Ryu, yeah. Buehler, you know, like old school, like we grew up with, give the ball to this guy. They're going to have the matchup, the check mark in every single starting pitching matchup. Every single one, with the exception of Rich Hill, depending who he's going against. But they're going to get the starting pitching nod in every game. And I still like the Red Sox there. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Red Sox should win the World Series. I'm just telling you, it's going to be more compelling for us if it's the Dodgers. More compelling for me personally if it's the Brewers. But then again, if you just want to see me suffer, then you want the Brewers. To the phones, as promised, opening segment. Tim in Nashville, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Tony, I've called before and complained about Price's feeble follow-through. His whole windup is just so feminine. Last night, I saw some grit in a high, high leg kick. And, Tony, would you start Eovaldi in the first game?
So let's go to the first thing. What did Price do last night that was a difference maker for him?
Well, to me, first of all, he was pinpoint control. I mean, pinpoint. You can't – that was like paint-by-numbers kind of stuff. You put the spot, he painted it. I mean, that was it. He was on with everything all night. It was really two pitches. It was fastball and changeup for the most part the whole game. They were both excellent, and he hit every spot he wanted to hit. Now, you know how I feel about it generally, and I think you saw it last night. When he comes in hard with his fastball, he's a better pitcher because he can then he can control that outside corner too. And I just – all of a sudden, the thing that I marveled with him last night, he started to smell it. In about the fourth inning, the velocity ticked up a little. Like all of a sudden it was, I'm locked in. You know, I don't remember when did JD Martinez home? Was it the top of the third?
Third.
Okay, so right about that point, it was, I got a lead, I'm dialing it in. And I just thought his whole mentality on the mound in that game last night was different.
What's your postseason rotation? World Series rotation, sorry.
I go with exactly the same thing they have right now. I don't change it, and I'll tell you why.
Sale price of Aldi Porcello?
Yep, because I want Porcello available out of the bullpen for games 1 and 2. I want Evaldi pitching 3 and 7. And I want the opportunity to pitch Price on 3 days and 5 if Sale can't go.
The 3 days help him?
Maybe.
Dial him back a little bit?
I think so. I mean, I think the whole thing, warming up in the bullpen the night before, the short rest, the fact that it all sort of gets scrunched together and there was less time to think, I think it all helped him. And now we know that if it's needed, he can pitch on 3 days. I want him behind Sale.
Dylan in Boston, go ahead.
I was not a big fan of any of Dombrowski's moves this year, especially after the trade deadline. But I want to talk about the biggest move maybe, and that was cutting his number 3 hitter in May and wondering what you think Hanley's doing right now.
I don't know what Hanley's doing right now. I don't want to know what Hanley's doing right now. I hope he's okay. I don't think that was the biggest move. The Evaldi one's shaping up as a big one.
Number one. Yeah, that's number one.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, they were right on Evaldi. And again, now you're through 2 rounds. He's had 2 good starts, and he came out of the bullpen in another one in a clinching game. So they're in the World Series now. I don't know if there's any turning back on it. Evaldi was a huge pickup. Huge. So give them credit. They said they scouted him. He was throwing the ball better than anybody. When they picked him up at the time, people like me said, are you kidding? Nathan Evaldi, just another guy who's bounced around from team to team. The fact is, he's a different pitcher than he was earlier in his career. They nailed it. They got that one right.
Agenda Free Friday continues with your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series.
That was very, very special, but we want more.
Oh, what delicious irony. How you all want me now.
Get Price in the game, put Price in.
You've mocked me and you've booed me. Said I'm a bad fit for this town.
Love it or leave it, Price.
You've laughed at my dog, Astro. Said it was wrong how I talked to Ed.
David Price, wake
that
up.
That I'm a $30 million baby.
$30 million for what?
That needs to show respect. But now you want a World Series ring.
Deploy him as your secret weapon.
Get him in there.
And it's Price, we need you.
Put Price in.
And oh, how that makes me laugh.
David Price was not wired to go to Boston.
It's my redemption song.
I'm happy David showed up today.
And you can suck my balls.
Oh, I can't wait.
And also Astros.
We owe David Price an apology?
No.
Not an apology, but you can say good for him, and I mean that. Good for him.
So right. When you say apology, you make it sound like everything that was said before that was false.
Right.
But F off with this apology nonsense, Alex Cora. Screw you with the apology, you baby. Oh, I can't stand that. Where's my apology? Seriously, where's my apology for all the years and all the things you folks have gotten wrong? Where's my apology? You all told me the Eagles were going to stomp the Patriots. I bought in. Where's Maz's apology?
Yeah, thank you.
He had the Eagles and you told him he was an a-hole.
Yeah, I got a couple of apologies that week.
Where's my apology? Where's my apology? You spent all week last week in Minneapolis, telling me how the Eagles have no chance. And it's a backup quarter and a bunch of bums. And I believed you. Where's my apologize? I mean, how stupid is that, right? Like, you owe David Price an apology. Evan Roberts on MLB Network is who said it.
Yeah,
here's Alex's postgame cut on this.
I don't want to pick battles with the media, but, you know, I heard somebody today on TV just blasting David, you know, blasting him, you know, calling him the worst pitcher in the postseason.
He is.
Yeah, the numbers are there, I know, but he didn't hesitate. You know, it was a bad matchup, you know, one of the greatest against the worst and all that. And I don't listen too much to what's going on outside, but that one got me. That one got me. And when he was throwing 94 and the changes, whatever, I was thinking about that segment on MLB Network today. So, I don't know. Probably the guy's going to blast me because I'm talking about him, whoever he is. But you know what? I'm happy David showed up today. And tomorrow we can turn the page and move on to the World Series with David Price.
Oh, God.
And the other thing is, too, is when you look at that whole story, Price himself sat on the podium just a couple of days ago and said, I understand the narrative, and it's well-deserved. I deserve it.
Give me a break.
So he said it himself.
So you picked the Astros last night because of David Price's history. Now you owe him an apology? Ugh, please. But, and where are my apologies, by the way? Where are my apologies? Because you owe me quite a bit of an apology, then. You all owe me an apology. The Bruins owe me an apology.
You get to pound the desk when you say that.
Where's my apology? Yeah, make a commercial off of an early season take, and then you get pounced in the second round in five games like a bunch of losers. Where's my apology? Yeah, make a commercial acting like you actually won something and get your ass handed to you in the second round in five games. Apologize. You owe me an apology. God, that's so dumb.
Two nights in jail.
Oh, Alex, come on. But I think he's like this. I think he's sort of rabbit-eared and like this. Didn't he get into an incident? And I forgot about that.
Podcaster in Houston.
Yeah, didn't he get into some big beef in Houston because a radio broadcaster said something?
Yeah.
So, like, as much as he wants to play off, I'm not into the media thing. He's watching and listening everything and very sensitive to it, obviously. So, God bless, it's working for you. Fine, no problem, but apology my ass. And I you're not even talking to me. I thought he might have, when I first saw the headline on Boston.com, Alex Cora has some words for a vocal critic of David Price. Quote, he should actually apologize to him. Subquote. This is on Boston.com. All I saw was a headline. Cora has some words for a vocal critic of David Price. Subhead, he should actually apologize to him. I went, uh-oh.
Murray.
Like, darn. Okay, Murray. All right, Murray's going to take one here. And no, it wasn't. It was Evan Roberts on MLB Network. Like, let it go. Or not, or don't. If it helps you win, fine. But the apology is laughable. Like, that's laughable.
Yeah, look, again, well-earned. Well-earned. He hadn't won a game. Like, and Price himself admitted that. I was surprised that Cora said that last night. I was surprised. Mistake. Don't start picking that battle now.
Tom, and yeah, and oh, by the way, if you lose the World Series to especially the Brewers, then I'm sorry. You look kind of foolish. So I would just wait. I mean, again, do it if you want, but I would really just wait a week. Tom and Taunton. Go ahead, Tom, on David Price.
What a joke. They want you to apologize to him?
Or Evan Roberts, anyway, the guy on the MLB Network. Yeah.
What an absolute joke. Anyways, Maz, you are so miserable, and I can't stand you. I absolutely cannot stand you. You are miserable Maz. That's what I'm going to call you from now on.
Why? What did I do now?
You're a little bug. You're just always negative. It's not over. It's not over yet. It's not over. I wouldn't count them out. I wouldn't count them out. Anyways.
If they lose the World Series, are you satisfied?
Of course. Yeah, of course I am.
Okay. I guess.
Yeah. Well,
look, I guess he doesn't like that.
I'm just telling you that I thought this team was capable of more. And now that I think they've proven that. So, look, Price last night, money. I mean, that was, you know, now they're up 3-1, so a lot of what Murray says is right. In a lot of ways, it was a great spot for him. But it is a clinching game on the road against Justin Verlander, and it was a tight game. You know, it wasn't like they got him 6 runs early and he could just coast. He had to be dialed in because it was a tight game and a mistake was going to affect the scoreboard. So he was locked in. He was dynamite. It was as good as you'll see him. He was terrific.
Kevin and Holden, go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling. I was wondering, did I see Pedroia in the dugout during last night's game? Because if he was, I was wondering if the Red Sox wasted a roster spot for him.
No, he's not on the roster. But why is he allowed to be in the dugout? And is he in uniform?
Well, he has a top on.
He has
so I don't know if he has a game jersey on.
Does he have the hat on?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
usually DL players typically have to petition the league to allow them to be in the dugout, but I think at this time of year they're often fairly lenient with that.
Got it. And he's not on the roster, caller, so don't worry about that. Are there any roster decisions going into the World Series? Anyone off?
The only thing
coming on?
I doubt it. I mean, I feel like, you know, they've got 5 days here to heal up a little bit. You know, obviously you got a little bit of an issue there with Nunez. Moreland was back on the field last night. Unless there's something going on with the pitching staff that we don't know about, there's always a chance that you'd swap out a body there at the end.
But you don't, on the face of it.
No, I think you go with the same group. Because again, now you'd also, if you have an injury in series, you can sub in series at no penalty because it's the last round. Right? Typically, the penalty you have is that whoever you take out can't play the next round. And so now that's gone too. So I mean, to me, I stick with what, you know, stick with what you've been using thus far.
Mike and Sterling, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Have you guys ever seen a manager with a horseshoe so far up as you know what? I have never seen a manager make more decisions that have gone right for him than that has happened in this postseason.
Could you believe Kim?
Every move he's made has been spot on.
Along these lines,
all of it.
Could you believe that he brought in Kimbrel for that inning?
Yeah, unbelievable. Kimbrel, after two innings being pitched the previous day, why you would bring him in after what he's been giving up and the situations he's put us in? Why would you not leave Eovaldi out there if you're going to pitch him? These moves are unbelievable that they're going right for him.
And then Kimbrel comes in and, you know, one walk, right? Clean inning otherwise. And it's, well, apparently they got a tip from, of all people, Eric Gagne, the former closer, who saw that Kimbrel was tipping his pitches earlier in the postseason. So Gagne called Cora. Cora put him in touch with Kimbrel. And Gagne told Kimbrel what he was doing. Kimbrel bought into it. And so I guess they were confident that Kimbrel would go in and be a different guy last night, and he was. So it's like everything they're doing. Everything. But when Kimbrel came out, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I wasn't totally shocked by it because I felt like early, you know, you still get a round to go. And they're not going to close with someone else four times against the Dodgers or the Brewers or whoever it is. Now, I told you, if it gets to the end of the next round, if it gets to the end of the World Series and Kimbrel's been shaky, now you've got nothing to lose because there's no round after it, and I don't think they're bringing him back.
Okay, but if he pitches like this, it's a dead story.
Sure it is, yeah.
I mean, but again,
you know, it still wasn't, you know, he did get, every outing he's given up a ball to the base of the wall.
But it's just
happened again last night.
Okay, but that wall, that wasn't.
Yeah. I know, but still, it's not, I still don't feel all that. He was better. I'm not disputing that. He was better. I still don't feel great about him on that mound. Like, I just look at him and go, this guy's still a disaster waiting to happen.
Agenda Free Friday, Red Sox reaction. It continues right after Jim Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kimbrel deals in the air, deep left field, hit well. Benintendi on the run. He's got it! And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series. The Red Sox will celebrate on the road once again.
And we continue with your reaction here on Agenda Free Friday, but let's face it, it's mostly Red Sox. Fitzy and Quincy joins us next. Hi, Fitzy.
Mads, in your opening take, you were talking about the difference between this team and then the last 2 years. You missed the one big difference. If they don't have that stiff Farrell behind coaching them, you know, he was so awful. And I just, Murray was saying the team didn't have any balls. I mean, because Farrell had zero balls.
All right, so let me ask you guys, what was a bigger difference between this year and last year? Alex Cora or J.D. Martinez?
J.D. Martinez.
If they had J.D. Martinez and John Farrell still as manager, would they be here?
No. I actually think it's Alex Cora. I really do. I do. I just, he's gotten more out of these guys than that stiff ever did those last couple of years.
I don't know. J.D. Martinez changes the lineup, but I don't think the gap is huge.
Alex Cora change Mookie Betts?
Does
he change Xander Bogaerts?
No, I don't think so.
You understand what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, I do. I totally agree
with
that.
They become better players, but Martinez, to me, changes the whole lineup.
But that's Murray's point, that
Bogaerts was better this year, I think, in part because of Alex Cora.
Yeah, didn't Bogaerts hate John Farrell?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah. You know, I still think Martinez is just a massive change in that lineup. Massive.
You know, here's something. The Cora thing is real, but here's what I would say to quantify that. Cora's not the only one that could have done that. Meaning, I think that it was important to get Farrell out of there because they didn't like Farrell and there was some bad juju in there, right, between all those guys. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that could have come in and just changed that atmosphere. So it's not just Cora, but that change, I think, was huge. And you're hearing it now, and you'll pick up on more of this. The Patriots have done this the last couple of years, too. They're very open about saying, I love you. I love you, man. I love these guys. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. There's a lot of I love yous flying around out there. David Price was doing his walk-off on TBS, I think, and Cora came up and said, I love you, man. Love you, too. Love you, too, bro. Love you. Very open. Hard for a man to do, right? Love you. I love you guys. But it's a very new agey sort of thing. You open with your love. You say you love each other. Love, 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 love. I don't think they're capable of doing that with John Farrell.
No, they definitely weren't. And look, I'm not minimizing Cora's impact, because Cora's impact's profound. There's no two ways about that. The way you framed the question was, which one's more important?
Yeah, you're right.
And so, no J.D. Martinez in that lineup? Who hits third?
The fentanyl deal?
So this is my point. Like, you know, you take him in there, forget it. Like, the whole lineup changes. Everything. The guy was the most productive hitter in baseball this year. So I put a premium on that. I think those centerpiece guys are huge. I believe in them in rotations. I believe in them in lineups. You got to have those guys. Now, you want to talk about Cora's job separately? The impact he had on this roster and on this collection of players was enormous. Enormous. Profound. I don't think you can overstate that. He got through to them, and he got them to play to their ability, and that was a big thing.
Steven Medford, hi. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about David Price. I mean, I think since the All-Star break, I don't know what it is. He found something. I think it's a change-up, to be honest with you. I mean, he looked like last night. He reminded me of when he came in 2008. He came in relief for Tampa.
So, Steve, where was that against New York? Where was that in the first start against Houston? So, I mean, we can do this thing and talk about his arm slot and where he is on the rubber and where he locates the off speed and all this stuff. You could do that. But I think it starts with how he feels about himself and his comfort level, because that allows him to execute those pitches. And he, for whatever reason, he was just more comfortable last night. The 3-1 lead, fully in command, you know, kind of a nothing to lose kind of start. Because if he doesn't succeed, well, he's pitching on 3 days. They got him hot the night before. What do you expect?
The expectations were minimal at best.
So I think maybe that put him in a good place. He says he found an adjustment the night before when he was on the mound, again, with the adjustments. I think it starts with these guys, how they feel, and just their comfort level.
So I want to go back and listen to that again, because when he said that last night, he said, I found something.
Yeah, and he carried it over to today. That's what
I wonder if what he found was between his ears. And I'm not joking.
It was all that raking.
Yeah.
Very soothing.
That he found something that said, you know, this is really all you got to do. Stop overthinking it. And maybe there was some just little switch that went off, because I didn't see any huge mechanical adjustment there.
Well, maybe he looked into the other dugout and said, oh, that's what I normally look like? Because that Houston team was shook. And that's, you know, and so credit to Cora there, too. He knew how to needle that team and how patient, you know, they obviously practiced patience at the plate. You could tell how frustrated their pitchers were. How many walks, ultimately, did the Astros give up in this series? What a bunch of gutless pukes. So maybe that's what it was. He looked into the other dugout and said, I don't feel like that right now. You know what? We're up. It's house money. I can shut these bums down. That's exactly what he did.
Okay, real quick, here's a gender-free Friday thought on something not Red Sox, I don't think. Richard in Boston, go.
Gentlemen, huge argument going on at my office right now. Who is more famous, Tiger Woods or LeBron James? It's getting very heated here.
Okay. Both. Equal.
At this point, it's LeBron.
Murray, can I ask you a favor? I don't want to bark the order at you.
What would you like me to Google, Mike?
Just Google Tiger Woods Q rating. Google LeBron James Q rating. Just see if it pops up.
All right.
I mean, so what do you think? They're the same.
That's a dead heat, I think.
Dead heat. They're both at like 90%.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'm going to lean LeBron there. Basketball's a global game now. Everybody's playing it. Like, I'm going LeBron there. I'm going to put my money on LeBron. I've been wrong about everything else, so it's probably Tiger.
Sign up for a 30-day trial.
Oh, go F yourself. Yeah, no shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the Brazzers renew.
So, I'm going to go Tiger because has he been at it longer?
Yes.
Yes.
When was LeBron drafted?
02, 03?
Yeah. Well, let's just go with it. Tiger's been around longer, so more of the olds know him. Jim in Connecticut. What do you got, Jim?
Yes, is when they play in L.A., and it will be L.A., J.D.'s going to have to play in right field.
Okay.
And JD's the obvious move is to take Jackie Bradley out of the lineup, but I don't think that's the right move. I think that Mookie Betts can move to second base. He played his entire minor league career there, and that they can leave the rest of the lineup as it is. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Boy, it's Jackie Bradley love. He's not the first guy to bring this up. You folks love yourself some JBJ, man. You are so intent on JBJ not sitting that you're willing to move your MVP to a position he hasn't played in 5 years. How long has it been since he played there?
He played. Remember, he popped into a game there this year, right? I don't remember.
It was the game that Cora got tossed from, and Renicki put him at second base.
Yeah, there was an emergency situation. Something happened, and they had to play him at second base for an inning.
Does he ever take ground balls? Does he work there in spring training?
I don't think they're going that way. I mean, it happened this year, but I don't think they're going. It was kind of a fluky thing. But I think if it's me, given the size of the outfield in L.A., Benintendi sits. That's the way I would go.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, Maz. So you're getting a little bit of the JBJ fever.
I just think because of the outfield there, it's a big ballpark. And so, you know, it's a big outfield. It's a symmetric outfield. I was looking this up a little bit last night, too. J.D. Martinez had a four-homer game against the Dodgers last year in L.A. Okay? And he played right field. My guess is, you know, I think the dimensions are perfectly symmetric in that ballpark. I haven't looked, but there's nothing quirky about the outfield there. So maybe they put him in left and he can play there.
But you, if you're drawing up the lineup, you keep in Bradley and take out Benintendi.
If I'm pulling Benintendi or Bradley because of the size of the outfield, I'm keeping Bradley in.
Okay. Jackie Bradley versus Kershaw, Ryu, and Richo.
You can always hit for him later if you're behind. You can always hit for him.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts on an Agenda Free Friday. Long commercial free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I saw him last year. I think it was Father's Day. He pitched against Houston in Houston, and he pitched well. I saw him in the playoffs against the Astros. He pitched well. This year, he pitched in Houston that Saturday, pitched well against them, and he pitched here against the Astros and pitched well again. I know how good he is. I know he's been pitched well against them, and I trust the guy.
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives, but this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a strikeout for Price. Called strike three. David Price has excellent command to start. Two outs. Price deals, and it's a called strike three. The swing and a miss. David Price spots that fastball on the inside corner again. He picks up his fifth strikeout, and he got him. That is strikeout number eight. Mariznick right off the end of the bat. Price fields it, throws it low, dug out, and it's in time. What a play. Price over to first base, and the Gold Glover, Mitch Moreland. David Price is through five, and a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price. And I'm sure David Price has mountains and mountains of crow to dish out, because he finally has his moment as a starter. Six innings, no runs, and his first career postseason win sends the Red Sox to the World Series.
You've said that it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. All that matters is how you perform on this grand stage in the postseason. Does pitching your team to the World Series sound like enough?
Not yet, no. Not for me. You know, not for the other guys in the clubhouse. You know, we got four more wins. That was very, very special. Absolutely, but we want more.
Is all forgiven? Never mind the apology, which is the most asinine, childish thing to say. But is all forgiven? Meaning, do you not like the guy, trust the guy, story over?
No. No. And look, when I say, am I happy for him? Of course. Yes, a great moment. It's a good story. I mean, I'm all for that. But the bottom line is, it's still the exception rather than the rule. So, you know, I just believe in patterns. I believe in bigger picture samples. Now, I do think there's a chance here that he could snowball and get rolling.
I'm just talking about fans and how fans feel about him. Because for all the, for as much as the media has beat up on David Price, I mean, he got his ass booed off the field at Fenway just last week. So it's not like the majority of fans have been like lay off. The majority of fans are down on this guy too.
I remember even the Yankee fans cheered him when they were in the lineups.
Well, no,
in
but
that
just
series.
Just you, Boston.
Yeah,
you like him now?
Honestly, I'm eager to hear if we get replies on that.
So that's my question from a fan standpoint. Is he in?
I would say
I don't know.
I would say probably. I would say probably. And I'm eager to hear what people say and not that necessarily.
I think there'll be less nervousness surrounding his starts now. Like, the only thing that's happened here is you can no longer get on him for being
winless.
A perpetual postseason loser. That's it. He's killed that narrative.
So I'll tell you what will be a great moment. Opening introductions for the World Series Game 1 at Fenway Park. When Price gets announced in that ballpark for the first time.
Oh, yeah, people are going to lose it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'll be the best moment in the introductions. There will be no better moment than that. He will get the loudest ovation of any player announced before Game 1 at Fenway. And that will be cool. He deserved it after this last game. But then you start again, right? You hit that reset button. You always hit the reset button. And now he's got to turn it into, you know, he's got to turn it into, again, a pattern, a sequence. We need to see that there is legit growth there.
Okay, so I'm curious about that. How do you feel about that, fans? John in Pembroke, go ahead.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I cannot stand this. This annoys me so much. Everybody's loving this guy today. He still has not won a game in a pressure situation. There was no pressure on him last night. If he loses, they come back to Fenway with two chances to win. We all know we can do this. What is the big deal?
Okay. I mean, it's a big deal. Come on. You know.
See, I don't know. Every time this guy takes the mound in the postseason, there was pressure.
And he pitched really, really well. It's not just that he backed into a win or something like this. He was lights out.
I mean, he earned it.
No walks.
He was the best player on the field last night. That's how I think of it as. Like, there was nobody that did their job better on that field last night than him.
So, I would never say, you know, what did he really do? No. That I've always said, when you get to the final four of your sport and you get in these games, that counts. You take nothing away from the guy, and I take nothing away from him. No fake wins here, man. So, no. But, bigger picture, step back. Did he answer his critics?
No, because, again, look, let's say this is the only one. When the Wikipedia page is written at the end of David Price's career,
he's 1-10 versus 0-9.
Exactly. Exactly. So now look, if he can, you know, let's just say to me where it would change is what if he's the World Series MVP?
Oh, my God. No, what if he just wins in the World Series?
Right. So then it changes. Right. Definitely. Then it changes. Now it's okay. He got over the hump and then all of a sudden there you go. Now everything's different. So but again, I give him credit because with the way that thing had rolled down the hill on him to just go out there and win was pressure. There was pressure no matter what.
That's a big ballsy outing. Nick in the car, go.
I think Cora has the Midas touch right now. Should be the MVP if you could possibly get voted it. But with Price, I think that the biggest thing is that they have to realize if you take a little bit of pressure off, he's going to pitch well. I would be hopeful that they pitch him in game one. Take a little something off him, put him in a 0-0 situation, and he might come through. But I don't think that he is the hero everybody's praising him to be. I think if anything, at best, he has a clean slate and is looking to prove himself in the future.
Clean slate. I think that's closer to the truth. He's on his way. How's that?
It's a good way to put it.
He's on his way. Brian in Boston, your thoughts?
Yeah, on Price, I think everything is all forgiven. And I say that because I think he's the one pitcher that's gotten the least amount of run support. I don't think people talk about that enough. And the other point I wanted to make is that I think the warm weather in Houston played a big part in him having a great night the other night. I think we hear a lot about him early in the season with the issues he's had with his the fingertips and
sure.
You know, cold weather.
So do you hold him out of Boston to get to L.A. or no. Milwaukee, which is a dome?
No. No, I told you. I gave this some thought.
Their roof wasn't open. They played in a dome.
Yeah, no, no.
No, no. Yeah.
Yeah, but what's he talking about?
Well, no, but the dome is still climate controlled.
Yeah,
it's still warm.
Yeah, I think that's his point, is that it's a controlled environment.
It's not cold.
You know, it's warm enough.
All right, okay.
So like, I look at it. I told you, I keep it the way it is. I want him behind Sale now. You know, we still don't know about Sale. Like, let's not get too crazy about that. And if you need someone to pitch on short rest, it looks like Price now can do it. So I'm keeping him right there, game two.
Steven in the car, another question with David Price. It's for another day, but go ahead, ask it.
Hey, guys, fast question. Do you think Price, if he wins another game, say he wins one in the World Series, do you think he's going to walk? Also,
I'll stop you there. How does this and how does this impact his option?
So I don't. At the end of the day, I don't know if it really will. Because again, it's about the bigger. It's about the bigger picture.
If there's a market for him, does he opt out?
I don't see where he gets the same money. So I say no.
So I said if there's a market, if he gets a comparable deal, will he opt out?
No.
And you know, it takes some tampering to figure that out.
Oh, so no. When you say if there's a, I misinterpreted what you meant by that. You mean if the same money's out there?
Yes.
I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule out him opting out, yeah.
I'd have some respect for that, especially if he pitches well, wins a World Series. Smell ya. Yeah, oh, You want to make fun of me for my voice? You want to make fun of me for my dog? You want to make fun of me for jumping the broadcast? You want? See, I just won your world championship. Now I'm going to go pitch in New York or whatever, right? Like, I'd almost respect that.
So when you said if there's a market, I think he's got $130 million left or something, right? Right. If someone had offered him $110 million.
If there's a market.
Right. I don't think the union will let him get out of it. I think they'd put the screws to him to stay.
No, it's got
to
be close.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I mean. But if the money, him, if he, it's his choice, and he can get the same money, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Now that he's shut up the doubters like me and many fans, and I don't think that that's changed how he feels about the city and being here and the noise. I do think he likes that team and his teammates and Alex Cora, and there's a comfort level there. So
has he shut us up? So all those bits, all that stuff?
No. To kill that narrative that he is a perpetual postseason puker, like that's big.
Okay, I'm not.
I never thought this guy was going to win in the playoffs.
I'm talking about your bits. I'm talking about your voice. Like, is that gone? Can we not do that anymore?
They hurt. No. Please, that continues. I just think that they now hurt less because he has that monkey off of his back.
Okay,
Murray Felton.
Even when he pitched well, Mike, he was getting pork.
I'm worried
about
the content.
The manager pulled him so he couldn't get the win.
You're talking sports. I'm talking content.
Felger doesn't want to lose the voice, Mike.
I'm worried about the content.
I'm worried about the content.
Staying.
I don't care if he ends up with the Reds. The voice continues.
Thank you. Okay, well, that's just good to know.
You bitches are going to make fun of me no matter what.
Even in victory, even with him carrying himself really well, he still bugged the crap out of me last night. And I'll tell you why. Right after Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.